Good morning. I think most of you just came out of breakfast. I hope the coffee was good and strong. We're trying to make this session as exciting as possible and cover the enterprise features and how enterprises can benefit from Windows Intune. My name is David Nudemann. I'm a Microsoft MVP for on the Windows Expert IT Pro category. And I work for OCSL, it's a consulting company based in London. And presenting with me today, I have Elias.
Hello, good morning. My name is Elias Mareb. I'm also a Windows Expert IT Pro MVP and an MCT. And I work for a company called Whitetech Consulting, where I am the infrastructure director. So, David.
So, first thing I want to do is set some expectations. So we are going to start talking about how the world has changed. A quick overview on what Windows Intune is and how corporations can benefit from that. So how many of you currently use Windows Intune? Good. How many of you are trying Windows Intune? OK, so half of the people who use are still on the test phase. Good. And how many of you don't know what Windows Intune is, and you're just here to find out? OK, about half of the people. Good.
OK.
Great. So modern work, a lot of things changed. So even Dilbert reflects that. He's being sent to a meeting in Seattle, and he's complaining that, why do I have to go to a quick meeting in Seattle, if I can just use Link, right? I'm not going to meet a newly discovered Stone Age tribe. So with that in mind, we can review how we got to this stage. So, quickly analyzing the evolution of work, we started with, as nomads and hunters. So I'm going to quickly describe the history of Bob. So Bob was a hunter. He used to go out every morning, try to find some animals and bring some food home. Bob, over thousands and thousands of years, that's what every single human being did. We went out for hunting, and women stayed at home, taking care of the kids and moving stuff around because there was no settlement. I think Bob, over a period of time, started to, I think his effectiveness as a hunter started to decrease. Because just after that, if you compare the humankind timeline, most of the time we were hunters and nomads moving around. Until we got the Neolithic Revolution, and that's when women decided that our effectiveness was on a low, and they said, we have to do something about it. So that's when they invented agriculture and domestication of animals, right? So they said, Bob is no longer a good hunter. We need to find a solution. So that allowed humans to settle down, start group. The first cities came out. We started developing tools. And we got to a stage where, we got the Industrial Revolution. Tools were very advanced. Workers were more skilled. They got training. They started specializing in something, every time more specific. So people used to be, create nails, but then they got to a point where one person just do the head of the nail, the other one just do the sharp end. So people started specializing. And you always had your table with your tools. So, 10 years ago, everyone had a desktop, a desk, your pen, your piece of paper. And nowadays, we have the mobile revolution. You can basically climb any mountain and work on the top of it. That's a very good example. That's what we do almost every day. But basically, the mobile freedom. You're not attached to a set of tools, and you're attached to a desk. So Elias will, tell us a little bit about the challenges in managing the mobile revolution.
So yes, like David just told us, again, all the workers are geographically dispersed. They could be, one could be in China, another one could be here in the States, Belgium, I don't know. And we can have a, you know, our headquarters maybe in Seattle or here in Orlando, but our workers are traveling. They're outside of the company. So we have different challenges. The second challenge that we have is the lack of hardware standardization. People are, you know, we are constantly getting new laptops, tablets. I mean, the company's getting, but from different vendors. And also, in those devices, people are running applications that are extremely diverse, right, David?
Different versions of the same application.
Yes.
So the classic example of Adobe Reader, you know, from 4 to 10, you can find across your organization every single version. And also applications that achieve the same function, but they're different, like WinZip, WinRAR, or 7-Zip.
Yeah. Another thing that we're, you know, facing is the bring your own device. That's non-corporate machines. We are approaching the consumerization of IT, and that's one thing that we're going to be talking about during this session. And also the lack of visibility. Sometimes we have workers that are out of the company for 3 months, a year, and we don't know what's happening on those computers. I don't know if you feel those, you know, those very same pain points, but that's what we, you know, have to face each and every day with our customers, right?
Yeah. So, Windows Intune. So about half of you, you know, are here too, because just to look at Windows Intune for the first time, a few of you are testing it, and a few of you have it on production. So in short, Windows Intune is a cloud-based solution to manage PCs. So install an agent on the machines, and from there you can do a full-blown PC management, so including software updates. You can distribute applications to those PCs. You can help to protect the devices because it includes an endpoint protection, the classic antivirus and anti-malware. And you can keep track of the hardware and software that's installed on that machine. So at any point of time, you can check which version of a specific application, or if you have an illegal application, like people don't like that application that ties with the iPhone, they don't like it on corporate machines, you can track if people have that or not. One of the benefits of Windows Intune is you have a software assurance right, which means that if you currently have a machine with Windows XP Professional, Windows Vista Business, or Ultimate, and or Windows 7 Professional, you can upgrade it to Windows 7 Enterprise. So you can unlock other features, such as BitLocker, Direct Access, and Branch Cache.
Which are enterprise meant features.
Yeah, that's why it's on the Windows Enterprise version. So BitLocker, for example, is a very good match for Windows Intune, because most of the devices you're managing are laptops. So you want to secure those laptops in case someone loses it. Well, no, all the data is encrypted. So we have the right to use Windows 7 Enterprise. But the benefit is not Windows 7 Enterprise. The benefit is software assurance. So Windows 8 is coming out sometime in the near future. And when it comes out, as you have software assurance, you have the right to upgrade to Windows 7 as well. Oh, sorry, to Windows 8.
What other benefit do we have? I mean, if I get Windows Intune, what other benefit can I get out of it?
The other advantage is for an extra dollar a month per device, you can get MDOP, the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack.
Are you familiar with MDOP? Can you please raise your
hand? Yeah, how many of you know are familiar with MDOP? Okay.
Let's do a quick, you know.
Yeah, so MDOP is a pack of small products that help you achieve the best of your, on your desktop environment. So it includes AppV, which is the application virtualization. So you can package applications in virtualized bubbles to avoid conflicts, and it's easy to distribute. You had MadV, which is the Microsoft Enterprise Desktop Virtualization. So you can, you know, it's like Windows XP mode, but a corporate approach to it.
Let me make a stop here, just to differentiate AppV and MadV. AppV, like David said, allows you to have your own file system, you pack, and then stream down to a computer. So if you have two applications that are not compatible in the same box, AppV is your solution. You can stream both applications to one computer, and each application will have its own virtualized file system registry and so on. And MedB is like XP mode, but for the enterprise. It allows you to have VMs, you know, in a server, and then stream out the applications that are installed on those VMs to a client computer. So maybe an XP machine on a server, and then stream that application from that XP machine to a Windows 7 box.
Then we have AGPM. By the way, this is acronym bingo, right? I'll ask a few questions about, you know, the acronyms at the end. AGPM, which is Advanced Group Policy Management. In my day-to-day job, one of the toughest things is group policy, right? Because it's always live. As soon as you make any change, it affects the whole company. So AGPM introduces change management and approval. So you can give someone permission to create new policies, but you can restrict those policies from being applied until someone else approves that policy. If something goes wrong, you can just click and roll back to the previous version. Right now, if you do a change on a specific setting on a policy and this person goes away, until you find out where the change was made, it can take a long time. So AGPM is there too.
Yeah, it is extremely useful for enterprises when you have multiple system administrators and you're like the infrastructure lead or senior architect, and you just tell to your sysadmins, I need a policy that can do this, and several sysadmins go and create a policy, and then you just can review the policies that they created and approve the one you think is the better one.
Then we have DART, the diagnostic and recovery
toolset.
Toolset, yeah. I was going to say toolkit, but toolset, yeah, because Elias is the DART man. DART is composed by 14 now?
A lot of tools, yeah.
Yeah. Tools to help you recover and keep your PCs running. So you have Locksmith, which is to reset local admin passwords. So let's suppose that, you know, someone forgot his password and you don't have access to the local machine. Or let's suppose that your admin left the company and you don't know the local admin of the machines. So you can go in with DART and recover. You can recover files. You know, it's worth having a look at it. So if you're interested in...
It's one of those tools that you as a system administrator or help desk support technician, you need to have, you know, in your pocket. You can have a USB drive or a DVD, CD, or you can just set up a Pixie environment and boot your computer from the network. But it's basically a set of tools to solve those very high-end and advanced issues. Like, for example, imagine that you just install a Windows update that is failing and your computer is constantly rebooting. You can just boot from that USB or DVD and just get access to the logs, to the event viewer offline, and then go to the updates and uninstall that update. Stuff like that, like very high end. I think of DART as a tool that helps me avoid formatting and installing Windows again, just helping, you know, analyzing a blue screen of death, analyzing a crash, with tools like crash analyzers, you know, so on.
Yeah. And then we have MBAM, the Microsoft BitLocker Administration and Monitoring Tool. So BitLocker, by default, it stores the key on a file. You can force it to store it on Active Directory. But sometimes corporations don't want to give first or second line support direct access to Active Directory. So MBAM will take those keys and store them in a SQL database, and they have a console so you can retrieve those keys. The current version of MDOP includes AIS, which is Asset Inventory. And it's basically an online service where you point a registry key on all the machines, and you have an online inventory platform. Windows Intune has a much better version of that already in production. So what Microsoft is doing is, on the next version of MDOP, they're replacing AIS with UEV, User Experience Virtualization. If you're not familiar with that, you should go to the Windows booth on the Technical Learning Center. It's very interesting. So it syncs real-time profiles between machines. So let's suppose you're logged in two machines. You change the default font on Word, how you want to visualize documents. You close Word. You're already logged in on another machine. You open Word, you have the exact same settings. You don't need to log off, log on. And it's also solved the classical problem of the roaming profiles, right?
Okay, so David, you're telling me about Intune. Intune is a subscription-based service, right?
Yes.
How much is it here in the States?
$11?
$11, okay. And if I want to get access to NDAP,
it's only an extra dollar per month.
An extra dollar per machine. Yeah. So what we're going to be telling you is that we're going to be explaining all these features and how we approach, you know, all these features from Windows Intune in our enterprise customers. And, you know, how we are saving money for our customers with, you know, tools like NDAP and you know, all the features that Intune has to offer to us.
So, Windows Intune is a new product. Right? It was released just over a year ago. And the evolution on the feature set of the product is just amazing. So, just over a year ago, on the first version of Windows Intune, it was a very basic product, but included software and hardware inventory. You could remote support the user, so they could request support. Through a live meeting session, you get to the PC, the user gives authorization, and you can control and help the user remotely. And they had a basic set of policies, right? So you could apply a few policies. And it also included an antivirus client. On the second version, which was released about 6 months ago, they introduced software distribution, right? So you had an online platform where you could upload the software and say, please install this software on this group of machines. So from my point of view, that was already mind-blowing because you could upload Office to the cloud, select a group of computers, and it would deliver Office to those machines. There was a set of remote tasks you could do, like force an antivirus scan, but you could choose if it was quick scan or complete scan. You could set up time frames to do that. They introduced read-only access to the console because they realized that some people want to change configuration, but as you have an overview console that you have, you know what's happening across all your states, some people would just, you know, like to have access to that console to have this overview. And they made a lot of enhancements on the reports, which is what most corporations do all the time. They have a lot of meetings, and you know, have to bring documentation to the meetings. You just go, and with a few clicks, you can print a report with, you know, what's currently installed on all the machines, which version of hardware, and etc. And Windows Intune version 3, which was the pre-release version was available, or the beta was available
April.
About just I think a month ago, and they announced 2 days ago the release of the version 3. So the big mindset they had to release was it's going to be user-centric. So the user is the most important asset of the company. So the group management is no longer by devices. You can manage a group of users. They introduced mobile device management, right? Because devices are no longer PCs. They can be a tablet. It can be a phone. We're going to look at the devices that are available and which versions are supported. But right now on the console, the mobile devices that are listed is iOS and Android, right? So they introduced a self-service portal. So being able to deploy applications on remote machines was amazing. But now what they did is you can force the installation, or you can just say, here's the installation file. It's on the cloud. I'll approve this application to this group of users. And if they want to install it, they just need to log in, click, and they'll get the application. So that's a big shift to the user-centric approach. And they also introduced integration with Active Directory, Exchange, and Office 365. So one of the changes was Windows Intune no longer had its own management backend. Now it's integrated with the Microsoft Online backend, which is the same as Office 365. So, and the policies during each version, the number of policies you can apply, they're growing and growing. So what they did is they introduced recommended settings. So when you create a policy, they come with a recommended set of policies so you already have a point to start with.
One of the huge, I think, enterprise benefits is that now with Windows Azure Active Directory, we can integrate Windows Intune into that online repository as information and also connect it to a local Active Directory so we can have single sign-on experiences of all our cloud-based applications. So for the enterprise, I think that that's a huge advantage. And you know.
Yeah, so in short, if you look at the evolution of the features, they're clearly taking clear steps towards the enterprise, right? Most of the message, marketing message of Windows Intune is focused on small and mid-sized companies, so they could instantly benefit from an enterprise-class infrastructure, but for a low cost, right? We are going to analyze how enterprises can benefit from that as well, right? So what's new? So it's people-centric. So you can make software available so people can just choose what they want. You can deploy policy to users. You could only apply policies to machines. It enables users to add their own devices to Windows Intune. So before you had to install an agent on all the machines, now you can, you allow users to enroll their own devices. We are going to see how that's a huge benefit for a corporation. And that's the screenshot of the Windows Intune console. That's the end user experience. So you go to a new device, you log in with your user, and you get that. So they're giving a huge priority to apps, as you can see. You can see all the devices you have enrolled as a user. And there's a contact IT area where you have, you know, if you need to call IT or send an email or request support, that's where you would go. So now Elias is going to give us a quick overview, as half of the room, you know, never.
Okay, can you please help me switch?
Yes, number two,
please. Okay, so basically one of the things that I see, you know, companies complaining, I don't care about the sizes, all the companies complain, is we need to, you know, spend money into implementation, and we need to spend money on hardware. Once you subscribe to Windows Intune, I mean, Microsoft do everything for you. You just put your credit card, subscribe to the service, and then you get access to this console. I mean, there's nothing to set up here. Just put your own customer custom parameters for your company. So basically, this is the Windows Intune. It's an admin console based on Silverlight. You just put your Windows Live credentials, and then you're set to go. And let's go through the action pane. The first screen that we have is the system overview. So we can take a look of all the alerts, the most critical alerts. We can create reports and basically see an overview of our environment. The second part is the groups. So now, as David told us, we have the ability to create groups of users and devices. If I go to users, I can see that I can start creating different groups right here. Create group selections, and I can view all the users that are currently listed right here for my company. Where can I create these users? If I go to the admin console, I have the option to add new users, reset user passwords. So if you're familiar with Office 365, this is basically the same console. Just create new user and add all the details, and then you're set to go. It's very simple. We also have the ability to create groups for devices. So if you're familiar with WSUS, it's basically the same. We can create groups for a specific model of computer or for a department or for a different company. And one of the uses that I see from Windows Intune is to manage multiple companies. So you can just keep connecting computers from different companies, just create different groups. And you know, from a single management console, you can administrate all those computers. In this case, I'm going to go to unassigned devices, and I can see under devices all the computers that I have in my organization. If I want, I can just double-click this computer, and I will see all the information available for this machine. Again, if you're familiar with WSUS, then this is basically the same, but in a cloud-based environment. I can see all the updates.
Well, just a quick note. It's better than WSS because it uses the Windows Intune agent on the machine to get that information. Because, you know, WSS sometimes can, it's hard to reach. But as it relies on the Windows Intune agent, you're guaranteed to get the information from the machine.
Thanks. So we got the updates pane where we can see all the classification and the approval status for each update. We can see if the computer has been infected or not, all the alerts, the hardware for that specific machine. So I can see the BIOS version, system, RAM, hard drive, processor, and so on. This is basically what David calls the asset inventory service online. So we can have an inventory of all our hardware just a click away. You can see the IP address, network interface, and so on. Also, I can see the software that's installed on that computer. In this case, I can see that it has the Windows Intune Endpoint Protection, Silverlight, and Windows 7 Enterprise. And I can see the policies that have been applied to that computer as of this moment. If I keep going to the updates pane, I can see all my critical updates, security updates, definitions, service packs, updates, roll-ups, mandatory updates, and the very important pane is the non-Microsoft updates. So let me just go ahead and click critical updates. And what I'm going to see is a list of updates, and I can just simply select it and hit approve or decline. So if I have in an enterprise, you should have, or also in a small company, you should have lab environment, a test environment where you test all your updates. After you test all your updates, you can just go to the console, and for that specific group, apply, approve, or deny this update. So you can just select on-assigned devices, laptops, and so on, depending on all the groups you have created. And also, you can upload an update. And that's another demo that we're going to do in a while. The other option that we have is, close this, is the endpoint protection. As David said, we now have included the, basically, if you're familiar with Forefront, it's basically the same. It's called endpoint protection, Windows Intune endpoint protection. It's the same malware engine as Forefront, and you get all the reporting features and capabilities on a web-based solution. So you can see all the reports, all the malware that have been, if your computer has been infected. We also have the ability to set up alerts and see all the alerts for endpoint protection, monitoring, notices, remote assistance alerts. And we have the options, the software option, where you can set what's the detected software. I mean, you can go to the computer and see what's installed on that computer, or you can see what's the software that's been detected on all the computers, and what software you're managing. I mean, what software are you deploying through the Intune admin console? So in this case, we have Link, Microsoft File Transfer Manager, a VPN client, and a game, yet another Tetris. You can also have the ability to upload your volume licensing agreement so you know when you're in compliance. Microsoft volume license agreements and also third-party software licensing agreements. And we also have the option to create policies. When you say, what policies? Let's go to add policies, and this is very simple. Add policies. And as David said, we now have the mobile security policy, the Windows firewall settings, the Intune agent settings, and the Intune center settings. And we have two options. We can create and deploy a policy with the recommended settings, or we just can create a custom policy. Let me just go ahead and create a Windows Intune agent setting for you. I want this policy to apply to all devices, or you can just assign the scope to a specific group. Hit OK. This is our new policy. You can just double click it, and I'm inside the policy. What we'll be able to see here is a list of configurations based on, in this first case, from endpoint protection. Do I need to or want to enable the endpoint protection? Yes, no, or it depends if I have a previously AV solution installed. And I can create and modify all the, you know, settings from Forefront in this same console. I mean, this is basically the same if you go to locally your computer, each computer, and go to your parameters of your endpoint protection solution. And also, we have the ability to configure updates. We can select the frequency, which day, at what time, all the schedule, what's going to be the behavior of the installations, to delay the restart, immediate installation, and so on. I mean, these are policies that we are familiar with it. I mean, when we are managing WSOS, our configuration manager, this is very simple. And one of the neat features that enterprises should take advantage of is that if you have multiple groups of computers or multiple branches, what I've been doing is creating different groups of computers depending on those branches. And when I know, you know, what's the bandwidth of each and every one of those branches or offices, I can select the network bandwidth option, and I just can limit the network bandwidth for that particular group and that particular user, and within a threshold of time. We also have the ability to set up reports, and these are detected software reports, update reports, computer inventory reports, license purchase reports, and license installation reports. So again, companies need to be under constant compliance. They always need to be, you know, giving away documentation, and this is a very neat feature to have always just click away. And finally, let's go to the administration pane, where we can configure all the updates, alert notifications, what kind of alerts do we want to set up, what kind of updates do we want, updates for a specific product, for Office, Windows. And one thing that we forgot to mention is that Windows Intune isn't only for client computers. Right now, these operating systems supported are Windows XP, Vista, and 7. And the official word from the product team is that Windows 8 is going to be supported when it's released. But it's not supported for Windows Server operating system. It's only meant to be for client computers. And if we keep looking at the administration console, we have now the ability to set up service administrators. And the service administrator feature is very nice to have when you have people that is coming in and you're training and you don't want them to modify all your policies. You can just set up a read-only service administrator. Or also, if you have a senior admin, you can set up a full access administrator. A tenant administrator is a user that has access to the company console, the company portal, and also can modify all your billing information and buy more storage. From here, you can download the client software, which is only 12.6 max zip file, and that's the agent that you need to install on each and every computer. Also, you have the ability to see all the storage and what's the size of each package, and the ability to add the Exchange connector or download the Exchange connector so you can add and manage mobile devices. David.
Yeah, so, and one of the new features that will be the next demo will be the company portal and the managed application, so how you can publish an application so users can connect to any device and use it. So what else is new? We saw on the console in three different places that Windows Intune is mobile device enabled, right? So when you download the Exchange connector, when you connect to Office 365, it will use the connector to identify which mobile devices are currently connected to Exchange using ActiveSync, and you can add those devices to the Windows Intune console. So it will use this connection to identify the mobile devices. You can create mobile devices access rules. So what functionality they will get and which functionality they want. You can also enforce a password or a PIN on a mobile device. That was the first platform I've seen that you can distribute applications to mobile devices. So there was a demo on the first day of the conference where they deployed an iPad application through Windows Intune. So you can upload an Android or an iOS application. On the device, you access the portal, and without using the store, you can deploy the application to the device. And in case someone loses this mobile device, you can remotely wipe the information. And depending on the version of the device, you can wipe the whole device. Following the mobile-enabled idea, so the supported devices are Windows Phone 7 or later, iPad, iPad 2, you know, iOS 4.0 or later, and Android phones and tablets from 2.1 and later. So, and below we have a screenshot of the experience will be on the Windows Phone. So it's not available right now, but it's about to be released. So you have the Metro interface. You log in into the portal. You get that. There's a list of apps that are approved for a Windows Phone. You click on install, and you can get this application. So here's an example of an expense approval, right? So it's a corporate application, but it's being delivered to a mobile device. I think most of the focus on the Windows 8 sessions for developers is to start creating those HTML5 applications, so you can easily integrate them into mobile devices. As we are talking about the enterprise, the question that we usually have is, okay, but how does Windows Intune compare to my on-premise solution, System Center Configuration Manager? So here's a quick chart that, Windows Intune will give you the rights to upgrade your OS to Windows 7 Enterprise. It will give you the ability to deploy applications to mobile devices. And even if you use a configuration manager, you can manage mobile devices, but you can't deploy applications to those devices. Windows Intune allows you to do that. So
just let me make a stop here just to differentiate SCCM or config MGR with Windows Intune. Basically, if we have a configuration manager, you need to be, or you need to have access to a corporate network. You need to be either in headquarters or in a branch where you have a distribution point. If you want to, just send out a new application or an update for an application with Windows Intune, the user could be in a coffee shop, could be in a mall, could be everywhere at his home. So he doesn't need to, VPN into the corporate network. It's just the client software is just the only component that you need. So as soon as you go to your admin console, upload the software and approve it for that particular group, and that computer then becomes online, it's going to get, that application pushed out to that computer in particular. So the computer doesn't need to be in the corporate network. The same thing to get access to the Windows updates and policies and support. That's the most beautiful thing about cloud computing. It's only what you're relying on an internet connection. So for those sales users that are away for 3 months, for a year, usually they go away and you don't have any way to just get some updates for the software, and they are running, a very old version, or they haven't run any Windows updates or installed any update in 3 months or a year. So basically, that's the beauty part of Windows Intune.
Yeah, and you mentioned policies. If the user is not on your corporate network, group policies will not be applied. If you introduce a new policy on Windows Intune, as soon as they connect to the internet, they will get the policy across, right? So it's not there to replace your internal infrastructure. It's there to complement those blind spots where you can reach. We are going to focus on those scenarios just after the next demo. So it's basically extending your infrastructure. Get to those PCs that are not there. Classic example, I had a client which is a big hotel chain. And one director came, about 2 years ago from a conference with an iPad. And he said, I want to use this device to work. And they said, well, unfortunately, we don't barely know the device, and we don't know what capabilities we can enable. And, you know, to be honest, the IT department didn't want any external device to be managed by them. You know, if you're using your iPad, it's your problem. If you're using your home PC, it's your problem. But if it's the IT director or the CEO of the company, it's not that easy to say, you know, it's your problem. As far as the CEO is concerned, it's the IT's people problem, right? So it becomes your problem. So you can extend your infrastructure to reach those devices. So they're usually not joined to the domain, but they are your responsibility. So you can install a Windows Intune client, you can apply a set of policies, and you can make sure it's always updated, and you can distribute applications to that.
Another question that I always get asked is, what if I do have configuration manager, operation manager, the computer's domain join, but this user is also traveling? Is it compatible? Can I have both? Yes. And this is what we meant with extending your infrastructure, is having those computers that already are in your, you know, huge enterprise environment with all this management and system center solutions. But still, what happened when you have salespeople, managers going out of the company for a long time? How can you still control and provide support, remote assistance, updates, and so on? And this is the solution. This is what we meant when we're saying extending your infrastructure.
Yeah, another example I have of a client is they're a very dynamic company. So it was a guy who sold his company, he had some money, and people with money, they want to make more money. So he created a company that it's outsourced Salesforce. So basically what he does is provide sales services to companies. So he got a very effective sales team, and you can hire his sales team to sell your product for a period of time. But those people are never at the office, and they're always in multiple locations, and they have different challenges on every single new client. So, you know, let's suppose the client now is a mobile phone company, and they have to reach this area. But just after they've been deployed to this area, there's a new update on the catalog, right? And it's an application or it's something else. So Windows Intune, not only they can manage those PCs and provide remote access, so if they have a problem with the user, they don't need to spend hours on the phone, they don't need to ship a new PC, they can just connect to the PC and provide support. But they also can distribute applications and new catalogs and make this mobile Salesforce always effective. I'll do the mobile device demo with the other one, because otherwise we're going to spend a lot of time. Another scenario is getting your PCs ready for work. So that ties in with the other example, but users can enroll their own PCs on Windows Intune, on the self-service portal, which will allow them to get the policies and the software and everything else. So one case is, let's suppose your marketing director is traveling to TechEd, and he lost his computer on the plane. Right? He gets here and said, you know, I can attend TechEd and enjoy all the benefits of the conference, but I can't work because I don't have my applications. I don't have access to my, you know, expense reports tool. How do I going to claim those expenses back? So Windows Intune will allow him to go to any shop, buy any PC, log into the console, enroll the device and associate it to his user. He will instantly get all the policies on his machine. He will get all the software that was approved to install to automatic install on his machine, and he can select applications that are already available in the cloud on the machine, right? So basically, you're allowing the business to keep running no matter what, right? You're not tied to a device. The user has rights to enroll the device, and you got a set of applications that he will get by default, and applications he can pick and choose.
And that's what we mean when you say this is user-centric and this is, you know, self-service. No. It's built around, you know, users, user-centric.
Yeah, so I'll quickly go to the demo. Okay, so that's the Windows Intune self-service portal. So the back end of it is inside the administration console. So let's change it to Orlando. Right? You can choose your support information. You can change the color as well. So we had blue, let's get to orange. So that's the configuration of what users will see. You know, support information, how they can access support. You can match the color to your corporate brand. But the most important connection between the two of them is on the managed software area. So what I'll do is I'll add a new software to my cloud storage. Run. So in this case, what I'll do is I'll upload 7-zip, which is an application to compress files. But I'll make this application available for download. But what if the user already has WinRAR or WinZip installed? Maybe I paid a few WinZip licenses. And even though it's available, if you already have WinZip installed, I don't want the user to be able to install it. Right? You can set those policies in here. You can create detection rules, and based on variables you can set manually, you can restrict applications from being downloaded and installed, because as it's cloud-based, every time you're installing something, you're downloading the package and installing it locally. So sometimes it will download, it will try to install, it won't meet the criteria, and then it will fail, but the user won't get anything. So you can avoid the download to start with by creating those variables. And another benefit of being a cloud solution is that you rely on the internet connectivity on the place where you are at the moment. This is a preview of the Windows Intune, so it's not on a priority link, but we'll eventually be able to publish the software.
So in the meanwhile, you can show the portal.
Yeah. So the experience on let's see if I can refresh that to get the new colors. Okay. So I get TechEd 2012, the new corporate color. On the contact IT, I have, your computer is managed by, and then you have the support contact. And from here, there's the instructions how to go to your Windows Intune client on the machine and start a support session, right? So the support session will be on the Windows Intune.
Right here.
Where?
Right here.
Installed. Okay. So inside the client, this client already has the Intune installed, so you have the endpoint protection and you have the Intune center, which allows the user to request a support. So he will initiate a request for help. It will show on the administration console that the specific user on this specific device is asking for help. And you can set alerts to send to different email addresses or tie in with your ticketing system if you have one.
So basically, this is the end user experience. This is what the end user is going to see locally on his machine.
So from here, he can initiate support. So it basically sends a live meeting request to the administration portal. You click, you establish the connection, and the user has to authorize the support to get full access to the desktop. So they start with a chat window. Say, how do you do that? Maybe, during chat you can resolve the issue. But if you need to interact with the desktop, the user can authorize that. So it's not that the administrator can just remote into a machine at any time and see what's going on. No, the user has to approve that. And from here, you can also launch the portal. Let's see if we can upload the software.
Minimize it.
Well, I'll show you with one of the applications that are currently published. So here I have a VPN client. If I go to edit, the demo gods are not on my side today.
Can you show us the old the Exchange Connector feature?
Yes. So on the mobile device area on administration, that's where you download your Exchange Connector. So it's a very simple installation. You install it on an Exchange server, and it will sync Windows Intune with your Exchange. And what it will do as well is, if you have Active Directory synchronization, as soon as a user logs in on the portal and adds Active Sync, it already knows that the user signed in is this specific user and will automatically set up the email account on the device.
So can you show me, if the scenario you told me, I'm a director, I lost my computer, I bought a new computer, what do I need to do? I go to the company portal,
yeah,
and what
so,
else?
I have a clean machine in here, but basically what it will do is you go to the
company portal. Here.
That's here. On all my devices, what it will do is you just lost your laptop, you bought a new one, you go to add a computer, download the software that will download the Windows Intune client. It will automatically associate that device to a user and your company's Windows Intune cloud account. And from that moment on, it will download the endpoint protection and the other agents to get the inventory, but you also start getting the policies.
So my new computer is linked with the existing, you know, Intune account, but what about the applications? I saw a big thing that says applications right here, if you go back. Apps, right
yes.
there.
Yeah. So this will allow you to, yeah, by default, if you set the backend to enforce an application, it will get automatically deployed. Those applications, they've been set to a group of users to be available. So they're not enforced. They're just available so the user can easily click it. If this device is associated to the user, there will be an install option in here, right? So this
can you show us, you know, how can I upload software to the management console?
Yeah. So I think this is working now. No, not the upload, but the edit is. So the process is about the same. The only difference is I would have an option to upload software. I really want it to show up on the other one because it shows how you can upload mobile apps as well, so for iOS and Android. But here, you know, I chose the publisher, the name of the application, which category it will be listed on. So once you have hundreds of applications, the experience for the user might be quite tricky, but you can choose by category. So if you want collaboration and want to download link, it might be on collaboration or communications. You can set the requirements. So let's suppose you have a 32 or 64-bit only version of an application. So you can select which infrastructure is supported by the application. And if you have any restriction on which operating system it can run, you can also set those restrictions in here. After that, you can use the default detection rule. So it will basically use that to understand if the application is already installed. So you don't need to download the package and try to install it and get these applications already installed. But you can manually set variables as well. So let's suppose in the case that you were deploying 7-zip, you don't want to get it deployed if you already have 7-zip, but if you have WinZip or WinRAR, you also don't want the application to be deployed. So you can add a registry key. If this registry key associated with this product already exists, don't install it. But you can also put file exist. So in this case, you could put a variable, you know, program files if WinZip folder already exists. Or you can go down to the file level, don't install it. So you're creating filters to prevent people from downloading a necessary application. You can provide arguments to create an unattended installation so the user really don't see anything that's going on. You can manage return codes. So if you know the error messages, you can specify
from your custom application, then you will get the code and know how to troubleshoot the failed installation, right?
Yeah. And once you save the application, I'm going to save this one. You can go to Managed Applications. So by default, they're just uploaded to the cloud. Next step you have to do is to manage deployment, so how this application will get to the machine.
One thing that we need to mention is that once you create the package is encrypted, and it travels encrypted to Azure storage. And once it's there, obviously it's encrypted, and when a user wants to download or needs that that application is going to be installed on a client computer, it travels encrypted in the same way and then unscript once it's locally copied into the client computer. So for all the security, you know, it's always on compliance. It's always secure.
Yeah, so it would manage the way the application is deployed. So in this case, if it's for groups of devices, my only option is don't install it or install it. If I select a group of users, is this application will be available or not? So in this case, I'll select users, click Next, and it will be an available install. Once I choose available install, I can go back to the portal, refresh it, and the application is available for the user to install it, right? If you choose a group of devices, you don't have the option to have it available. The options you have is
just pushing out.
Push it, mm-hmm. Right? Because sometimes, you know, it's nice to have a catalog of applications that user can go in and pick and choose what they really need to work, but some applications have to push, right?
So it's extremely important the group strategy that you decide. I mean, to which user departments or job roles. I mean, it's very important to create the groups with all the filters, having that in mind. So once you go to this portal, I mean, you can filter which applications and a specific, you know, type of user will have and will not.
Yeah, so you could do the same thing with mobile apps. So if you install an iOS package and the manifest, if you log in from an iPhone, it will detect it's an iOS, and you can click, and it will just install the application.
It is here now.
Huh? Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that's, you know, when you're about to give up, it works. Yeah, it was quite surprising and shocking for me when I was looking at the pre-release. You know, apart from publishing Windows applications, you have Android and iOS. As you can see, Windows Phone is not listed yet, but you know that's not the final version that's going into production.
But it will.
It will, yeah, of course. But you know, it's just funny that you know you look at the Microsoft product and the first thing you see is iOS and Android. So another scenario, and that's the most common scenario I get with my clients, is I already have Configuration Manager in my company. How can I benefit from Windows Intune? So you have a lot of external workers, consultants, contractors, people who come in for support for 2 or 3 days. You can use Windows Intune to get this compliance level where you know all the machines have the latest updates and you have an endpoint protection software. So you're sure that this computer that's not part of your company
usually
is secure.
Usually not part of your domain also.
Well, yeah, it's not joined to your domain. It's not your device, right? So how do you make sure that this person that's connecting to your network is not going to cause any harm? So you can say, you know, sign this waiver, we'll install this agent, and we'll make sure that, you know, you comply with our standards before you connect to our network. And, no, with Windows Intune, we'll allow you to embrace the consumerization of IT. There's a Windows Intune session tomorrow all about the consumerization of IT part. But basically, you have consumer devices, you know, all different tablets, people who show up at work with green and pink PCs. They're clearly not corporate, but, you know, it's a machine that they can be productive at as well. And you can also support multiple OSs, you know, in this case, iOS and Android.
So it's something that we have to deal, you know, each and every day, and it's becoming, you know, part of our business. People bring in their own devices to the companies more and more. Companies are saving money, but our job is getting tougher. You know, we need to now deal with computers that are not the main join. And thanks to the, you know, exchange connector and now the ability to manage mobile devices, we can now get in those devices into a more compliant state.
Yeah, so now that, you know, that director that went to that conference and said, I want to use my iPad on the corporate environment, now you can say yes, right? So you have all the tools on your infrastructure to completely embrace all those devices. And we're in a very exciting moment right now because Microsoft is about to go into heavily into this space as well, you know, bringing all kinds of different devices. And that's one of the tools to support that.
Okay.
Resources related to this track, you know, there's you can visit the Windows 8 Ready for Business website. You can also go to Windows to Microsoft.com/Intune, and we'll get you to the Windows Intune portal. I encourage signing up for the evaluation. You get, is it 25?
Yeah.
25 users, so you can, you know, attach machines, test policies, play with the self-service portal, and see if it, you know, fits to your organization, or it can complement your current infrastructure.
Also, Springboard is the destination for desktop IT pros. It's not about just, you know, going next finish. It's about exploring, planning, delivering, operating, and supporting your desktop environment. It's about Windows 7, Windows 8, and desktop virtualization, Windows Intune, Internet Explorer 9 and 10. If you are a desktop IT professional, then Springboard is your destination, is your place to go. If you need access to the newsletter, to resources, to blogs, to videos, how-to videos, so please go to the Springboard Series site, microsoft.com/springboard.
Well, you can download a copy of Windows 8 release preview today. It's available since last week.
Yes.
Other resources, you know, you can get certified and get some hands-on lab here. You know, you have the classical resources, TechNet and MSDN.
And please fill the survey. You can win a lot of prizes, and we value your feedback. So
very important. The only way we can improve the session is by getting feedback, right? So if you like the session, let us know. If you don't like the session, be kind, but let us know. And the more evaluations you fill in, you have more chances to get the prizes they're offering for people who fill in the evaluations. So make sure you do it. If you have a, you know, ice contact, you know, I live in Europe. People don't know what that is, but I think in the US people do.
Yeah, so if you want to scan it, take a picture, that's the time to do it. If not, you can go to the ComNet, and now we're going to be, you know, taking questions. Do we have a few microphones? So,
yeah.
You'll be able to integrate.
So let me just repeat the question so everyone can know. He's asking that if with the Windows Azure Active Directory integration, if you can bring your current user on your local AD to that platform.
What's your experience with Office 365?
Yeah, so basically what you do is you sync your Active Directory with Azure Online, and then you use your user there. That will also allow single sign-on. because that's very important for Windows Intune. You don't want the users to authenticate again when they open the company portal. If they're already logged in, you want them to be able to open and go straight to the portal. So that, yeah, it will basically sync your local AD with the Azure one, and it's synced with Windows Intune. To sync. Okay, it's. Can you quickly show that? It's on the main, yeah, on the administration one. So that's not inside the Windows Intune administration. That's on the Microsoft Online Services portal. So if you go to manage. Yeah, so you have on the top single sign-on and Active Directory synchronization. They're not available at this moment. They do have a lot of information, how to prepare Active Directory, how to sync with Azure, and as soon as the product is released in production, you'll be able to sync the Azure part with the Windows Intune. But one of the big changes was Windows Intune is no longer his its standalone platform. It's integrated with the Microsoft Online platform. You'll also be able to synchronize with Office 365.
Yes.
More questions? Yeah?
Can I use the local server as my local distribution
point? There was a question that came up yesterday, and the thing is, yes, but it kind of defeats the purpose of the product. It's not that you can tie your local server as a storage. What you could do is you can upgrade you can upload an EXE package or an MSI package that basically is telling you to use this local resource as a repository. But that kind of defeats the purpose of Windows Intune because you want this repository to be in the cloud to be able to deploy anywhere. Right? Yes. The thing is, if you're a small company and you're using Windows Intune as your on-premise solution to replace it. So instead of buying System Center Configuration Manager, you're only using Windows Intune, and you have a share with all your installation packages, yes, you can say, as long as you're inside the office, you can upload this package that will call the local resource. I did it before to test, but, it works because you're deploying a package that's calling a local resource, right? If you're not at the office, it will fail. Yeah.
I think we have another question right there, sir. Yes.
Hi. Is this working?
Yes.
Kind of. Oh, there we go. Thanks. So I'm on the Windows Intune team, and I just wanted to point out an answer to your question. So in the new release that we launched on Monday, the Active Directory component is synced now, so you can download the DirSync agent and synchronize your on-prem AD with the cloud. So that is available now. If you go to sign up on windowsintune.com, you can sort that out through your trial. Secondarily, to your question about the downloads for multiple clients, in the new client, we turn on peer caching. So when you install that client on your on-prem PCs, the first client that downloads will cache it locally, and we use exactly the same infrastructure as branch cache if it's in place. And if it's not in place, then we light it up using our peer caching technology automatically on all Windows 7 machines. So at that point, any other Windows 7 machine will do a broadcast on the network and get the binaries from other peers from the network without downloading over the internet. Well.
It's similar.
If you have enabled branch caching, that's an enterprise feature, so you have to have a server to do that. If you've enabled branch cache, then we'll integrate with it. If it isn't there, then we turn on peer caching, and we do it without the server, just between clients. So it's not branch cache. We integrate with branch cache, but without server, we use peer cache, which is a feature of the Windows 7 client that allows just peer work groups to work without server integration. Peer caching, yeah. It's actually the
similar to brand cache, distributed mode. Very similar to that.
Okay. Thanks very much.
And thanks for that, yeah.
Any other question?
What prevents users from replicating the
Yes. Ah. So if you look at the policies.
Repeat the question.
Ah, yes. So the question is, can you prevent a user from joining or manually joining a new device? Yes. So if you look at the policy, you can choose if the user allowed to do that to start with or not. Right? It's a very nice feature. For the example, you know, the director loses his PC, and he wants him, you know, he can rebuild his corporate environment on any machine just by using Windows Intune. But you know, in most cases, maybe they want to allow that.
So it's a trade-off. So
yeah. So you, as it's a policy, you can apply to a specific group of users as well. So yes, you can disable this option. Another question on the back?
Oh, yeah, it's a user. Yes, it's a per user license, so it depends on how many seats you buy. So you can.
Yes, because the idea is you're not only being able to enroll PCs, but also mobile devices. So.
It's a seat license.
Yeah, so it's a per device.
Per device.
Yes. Any more questions? Yeah, go ahead. Mobile devices, Windows Phone, version 7 and up, iOS, version 4 and up, and Android 2.1 and up. Mobile devices. No. It's 7 and up. So even the classic, you know, 6 or 6.5, that's on a lot of HTC devices, they won't be supported.
Yeah, for that, the solution is not cloud-based, and it's System Center Mobile Device Management. It's not cloud-based, and Intune only supports from Windows Phone 7 and later and up. I don't have another question. Yeah, sir?
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, good. Yes.
But, yeah. The thing is. Yeah, so his question is, does mobile devices take licenses as well? They don't take a PC license. The thing is, it's a brand new feature. I don't know how the mobile devices are licensed. I don't know if there's a specific license. Can you answer that? It's nice to have the Windows Intune people in the room because, you know, they can reply to the tricky questions.
Yeah. The way it's licensed is you buy a seat for your PC, and with that you get a user license. And then every user is allowed to install up to 4 devices for that seat, and that's just included in the license. The other question, I didn't quite catch it, because you didn't repeat the question, but was it to do with the
mobile
whether we support Windows Mobile Phone, as in 6.5, 6.0?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So
we'll support a device that can connect to an EAS connector. So if you're using Windows Mobile now, connecting to an EAS exchange server, when you put our connector in place, then we will replicate that through to our console, and you will be able to see and manage those devices through the EAS policies that will push down through the cloud.
So you can potentially reach a Symbian as well.
Say again.
So you can potentially reach a Symbian device.
We can't support Symbian devices because they don't have native EAS built into them.
Okay.
But if it's native EAS, which are the devices that we've listed out, then we can support them. It's likewise with RIM. So in Europe, RIM is very popular, but it doesn't support EAS natively. So a customer has to buy a third-party app to enable the EAS connector. So we can't support that directly. But as far as the server's concerned, if you've got a product that can connect to EAS natively, then we can support that.
So in short, licenses are user-based, and they can have a total of 4 devices.
Licenses are PC-based. You buy a seat, you deploy a PC. With each PC seat you have, you can deploy a user account and manage that through our console.
Okay.
With every one of those, you get 4 mobile devices included free of charge.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for being here, and we appreciate your time. Keep enjoying TechEd. Thanks.